Johann Sebastian Bach lived from 1685 to 1750. Johann Sebastian Bach was a composer who wrote wonderful music, indeed, a tremendous amount of great music. But during his lifetime, he was not a famous composer. Many people did not even like his music. But Johann Sebastian Bach was famous. Indeed, Bach was the greatest organist in Germany, and perhaps the greatest organist of all time. He was a choir director, a school teacher, an organ expert, and yes, a composer, but what he was most famous for was playing the organ. Johann Sebastian Bach was born in Eisenach, a town in the middle of what today is Germany. On the day of his birth in 1685, Bach's father was returning home after playing the trumpet from the tower of the town hall when one of his children called out to him, "Quick, Papa, come, we have a new baby." "My goodness, another musician to add to our family band." "Will he also be named Johann?" asked one of his brothers. "We are all named Johann like you, Papa." Papa Bach began to think. "Of course, his first name shall be Johann, but his middle name will be Sebastian. Johann Sebastian Bach. A good name, I think. Now, say goodbye to little Sebastian and come with me. I need your help putting away all these instruments." All the Bachs were musicians. Father, grandfather, uncles, cousins, brothers. If your name was Bach, everyone assumed you were a musician. So it is not surprising that soon, little Sebastian was playing the violin. Sebastian enjoyed playing the violin, but when his father would say, "Come, Sebastian, let us go visit your uncle and see how the new organ is coming along," Sebastian jumped with joy. Organs were complicated. They could take years to build. But when they were finished, they could imitate every instrument in the orchestra, flutes, trumpets, violins. And then, one day, when all the pipes were installed, his uncle, with just two hands and two feet, would bring the mighty organ to life, and it would sound like a full orchestra of many musicians. With each visit to his uncle's church, Sebastian watched the organ grow. "When will I be able to play the organ, Papa?" he would ask each time they visited. But every time the answer was the same. "Sebastian, your hands are not yet big enough, and your feet cannot reach the pedals. In time, perhaps you will play the organ, but for now, continue to practice your violin. You are indeed a very good little violinist." Sebastian loved music, and his favorite time of the year was when all the Bachs, aunts, uncles, cousins, would come to visit for a day of music making. "Open your windows," cried all the neighbors. "The Bachs are coming to town today." Singing and playing poured out of the Bachs' house.
Die Gebildung wurde
When the day was over and everyone climbed into their carriages and headed home, Sebastian would always ask, "When will they come again, Papa?" "Not for another year," his father replied. But Sebastian was already eagerly waiting for the next year to come. Sebastian's father was the director of the town band, and Sebastian and his brothers helped him, polishing instruments, fixing instruments, and carrying instruments. Sebastian practiced his violin and went to school. He liked school. He liked practicing the violin. But he loved visiting his uncle and the new organ. In short, life was good. But then, when Sebastian was not quite 10 years old, his mother died, and by the following spring, his father had passed away as well. The Bach children were now orphans. Sebastian and his brother were sent to a neighboring town to live with their older brother, Christoph. Christoph Bach was the church organist, and soon he was giving Sebastian lessons on the clavichord. A clavichord was an early version of the piano. Sebastian loved playing the clavichord, and before long he was pleading with Christoph. "Please, can't I have more difficult music to play?" "No," replied Christoph sternly. "Practice the exercises I have given you. You're not ready for more difficult music." Sebastian was very disappointed, but Christoph would not budge. So Johann Sebastian Bach went back to practicing. Christoph had studied with famous composers and had carefully copied some of their music by hand. Since very little music was printed in those days, Christoph's hand-copied book was very valuable, and Sebastian was never allowed to touch this treasured manuscript. The manuscript was locked in a special cabinet in the front room of the house. Christoph often took it out and played from it, but each time he carefully locked it back in the cabinet. Day after day, Sebastian watched the music go in and out of the cabinet, and then, one day, he had an idea. "If I rolled up the manuscript, I might be able to slip it out through the grillwork," he mused. So, one night, when the moon was shining brightly, Sebastian tiptoed down the stairs. The cabinet in the front room had brass grillwork. Carefully, Sebastian squeezed his small hands between the bars, rolled up the manuscript, and slipped it out through the grillwork. He tiptoed back up the stairs, and by the light of the moon, he began to copy note by note. 1, 2, perhaps 3 hours had passed, and the moon began to set. Then, quietly, he snuck down the stairs and returned the manuscript to the cabinet. Night after night, Sebastian crept downstairs, rolled up the manuscript, pulled it out through the grillwork, tiptoed back up the stairs, and copied by the light of the moon. Finally, after months and months, Sebastian copied the last piece in Christoph's manuscript. He put the precious manuscript back into the cabinet for the last time. Now he had his very own copy. Whenever Christoph was not at home, Sebastian would take out his copy and begin to play. But then, one day, Christoph returned home unexpectedly.
"What is this? Are you playing from my manuscript?" he bellowed.
"Not really," stammered Sebastian.
Christoph marched over to the clavichord and picked up the music.
"You've copied my entire manuscript?" he demanded. Christoph did not give Sebastian time to explain. He grabbed the music and shouted,
"You will never see this again,"
and stormed out of the room. All those nights of work gone. Sebastian thought about the hours he had spent copying. Gone. He thought about all the music he still wanted to play. Gone. And then Sebastian made an astounding discovery. The music was not really gone. Without even realizing it, Sebastian had memorized the entire manuscript. Christoph was certainly strict, but he was a very good teacher, and he played the organ. "Can I go with you today and play the organ?" Sebastian asked.
"Sebastian, I am not going to play the organ today. I am going to fix the organ. I fix and I fix and I fix this old organ. And it plays, but..."
Christoph's voice trailed off. "Oh, that's all right," Sebastian said. "I like to watch when you work inside the organ, and perhaps I can help. I am small, and I can climb inside the pipe chambers."
"Come along then," said Christoph. "If you want to become an organist, you will also need to know how to repair them. It is part of the job."
And off they went to the church. But life was never simple. One day, when he was at school, the schoolmaster called him in and sat him down.
"Sebastian, we all know that you are an excellent student, but I am sorry, we can no longer give you your scholarship."
Sebastian's heart dropped. He really liked school, and yes, he was a very good student. Why this now? But the headmaster continued,
"All is not lost. I have heard that St. Michael's School is accepting choral scholars. I think if you applied, you could get in. There is only one problem. It is in Lüneburg." Lüneburg? That is 200 miles away, Sebastian sputtered. How would I get there? Sebastian had no money for a coach, and he knew that Christoph, already with his own family, could not help him. Yes, it is far, but perhaps, the director continued, perhaps you could walk there if another boy went with you. There was no choice. If Sebastian wanted to go, he would have to walk and hope that the school would accept him. At the end of the year, the two boys set off with a bit of food. They slept in barns, and when they were lucky, they were able to hitch a ride or two with farmers going their way. But mostly, they walked. After many days, they finally reached St. Michael's. It was quite astonishing. Johann Sebastian Bach and his companion had walked almost 200 miles. Boys knocked on the heavy door, and slowly it opened. We have come to audition for the choir school. I am Sebastian Bach, and this is my friend. The director looked at the tired, hungry, and not so clean boys. Come in, come in. But first, I must give you some soup, and when you have had enough to eat... Ah, but wait, are you from the famous musical Bach family? The director asked. Sebastian nodded. Then I think you have come to the right place, said the director with a welcoming smile. And so, again, life was good. Sebastian auditioned. He had a beautiful singing voice and an excellent ear, and he was accepted. The school had an enormous music library where, for the first time, Sebastian could borrow all the music he wanted. He sang in the choir and tutored rich boys for extra money. He had violin lessons and organ lessons. He studied Latin and many other subjects, and he was now in the north of Germany, where there were many famous organs and organists. Sebastian graduated and could have gone to the university, but he decided that he should look for a job. He was 17 years old, with no prior work experience. He auditioned for a position as church organist and won the job. But then the job was given to a nobleman's friend. Johann Sebastian Bach was not deterred, however, and soon discovered that there was an opening for a musician, a lackey, they called it, at the Weimar court. Lackey meant he played violin in the Duke's orchestra, but he also could be asked to serve dinner and perform other non-musical tasks. He was a fine violinist and had an excellent voice, but his true interest was the organ. He visited organs, he talked to organists, and he learned a great deal about how organs were built. His interest had started early, visiting his uncle with his father when that organ was being built. He had watched Christoph endlessly repair his old organ. Johann Sebastian Bach had a knack for organ building, and soon people were asking him to come and make suggestions about their new organs. Having gained something of a reputation as an organ expert, Sebastian was invited to examine the new organ in the neighboring town of Arnstadt. He looked at all the pipes, the wind chests, the pumpers pumping air into the bellows, and of course, he played the new organ. Sebastian already was a very accomplished organist, and shortly after his visit, a letter arrived inviting him to be the new organist and music director for the church at Arnstadt. Arnstadt was a very good job, but Bach was not always an easy man to work with. He had very high standards, and he did complain a lot. The town council liked his playing, but when he asked for 4 weeks off and then was gone for 4 months, well, that was too much. So, after 4 years, they probably were relieved when Sebastian told them that he had found another job in a neighboring town. Bach's reputation was growing, and he was moving up. The salary was double, the church had a new organ, and the job had many fewer responsibilities. What could be better? A new organ to play and lots of time to compose. Johann Sebastian Bach decided that he had finally grown up and it was now time to get married. Life again was good. Sebastian was beginning to be well known. He was invited back to the Weimar court to play an organ concert and was immediately offered a job, this time not as a lackey, but as chief organist. Life at court was more exciting than being a church organist, and after a few years, he was invited to become the music director at another court in the town of Köthen. More money, better orchestra, and a cheerful musical duke. How could he pass it up? He requested a discharge. The Duke of Weimar was not happy. "What do you think? You can just up and leave my court?" thundered the Duke. "I will not give you a discharge. And, Herr Bach, if you still insist that you want one, I will have you put in jail." And that is exactly what he did. Well, Bach sat in jail for 4 long weeks. Angry though he was, Bach did what he always did. He began to work. As he sat in jail, he mused. So many students can only play music with 3 sharps or 3 flats, but there are keys with 4, 5, 6, 7 sharps or flats. They should be able to play in all of them. So, he took out his quill pen and ink, drew staff lines, and began to compose 24 pieces, each in a different key. In jail, Bach composed part 1 of the Well-Tempered Clavier, pieces that are still performed today by every serious pianist. As you can see, Bach never wasted a single minute of his time, ever. Eventually, the irate Duke of Weimar gave him a dishonorable discharge, and Bach and his family moved to the court at Köthen. This was a great job. The Duke of Köthen loved music and played as well as a professional musician. He often sat in with the orchestra. Bach had a generous salary and the opportunity to travel with the Duke. But then the Duke got married. "I'm sorry, my dear Bach," the Duke sighed, "but my wife hates music and thinks my orchestra is an unnecessary extravagance." And with that, Bach needed a new job. "Anna Magdalena," he said to his wife, "I am applying for the job in Leipzig. The city is large. They have 4 churches. I would be in charge of all the music. I would have to direct the choirs and the orchestras and give music lessons to the boys at the school and teach Latin. I also would have some dormitory duties. And, of course, they would want new music every week." Leipzig was an important city, and the job at Leipzig was an important one. It was only when 2 other organists declined the post that the town fathers sighed and reluctantly hired Johann Sebastian Bach. "Alas," one councilman commented, "since we cannot get the best, we will have to be satisfied with a mediocre one." Johann Sebastian Bach stayed at the St. Thomas School in Leipzig for the rest of his life. He arranged all the music for Leipzig's 4 churches, played the organ, and composed new music for weekly services and special occasions. In addition, he managed his school duties, teaching, conducting, and disciplining the boys. He performed on the harpsichord and organ all over Germany, gave private lessons, and traveled to many new organs, writing reports on what he thought could be improved. But on Friday nights, he could be found at Schneiderman's Coffee House, where musicians joyfully gathered to play in Bach's orchestra as he conducted from the harpsichord. For 27 years, Bach never let a minute be wasted. He was essentially a church organist. Unlike his compatriot, George Frederick Handel, an impresario who traveled all over Europe, composing for the English kings, writing operas, and putting on big productions, Bach was a very devout, hard-working homebody. In fact, he never left Germany. As he reached his 60s, his eyesight began to fade, and eventually, he went almost completely blind. An English surgeon came highly recommended, and Bach agreed to undergo eye surgery. After 2 operations, however, he still could not see. And then, as it happened, he suffered a stroke. Johann Sebastian Bach died at the age of 65. Few had ever worked so hard or composed so much. But in his day, Bach was known as the greatest organist in Germany and perhaps in all of Europe. But No one would have thought that Johann Sebastian Bach would be remembered as one of the greatest composers of all time.
Pipe organs were among the most complicated mechanical inventions up until the Industrial Revolution. The king of instruments, as the pipe organ is often called, is louder and has more sounds than any other instrument. Today, most pipe organs are found in churches and concert halls, and, as in the past, all pipe organs are custom-made and each one is different. Some people have described the organ as a great box of whistles because the sounds are made by air blowing through its pipes. There are some very small organs with only one keyboard and a handful of pipes, but there are also very large organs that have as many as 6 keyboards and over 30,000 pipes. The very small pipes play notes so high you can barely hear them, and those low rumbling notes come out of enormous pipes that can be over 60 feet long. The organ is a closed system filled with air under pressure. No sound is made until a slider at the base of a pipe is slid away and the air rushes up the pipe and across the opening at the front of the pipe, like a flute or penny whistle, and a sound is heard. Organs are very old instruments. Believe it or not, organs were played in the Colosseum in ancient Rome, much like we have organs that play at sporting events today. The first organs, water organs, were written about in the 3rd century BCE. Powered by a flowing stream, a constant level of pressure was maintained to provide a consistent flow of air for the pipes. By Bach's time, however, the air came from giant bellows pumped by men or boys. They had to pump nonstop during the entire concert or church service. It is said that the organ at St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, where Bach worked, needed so much air that it required 6 pumpers. Today, of course, with electricity, we just flip a switch and an electric blower provides the air. Larger organs are built into the building and can weigh over 100 tons. They cannot be moved. They have multiple keyboards as well as pedal boards, giant keyboards you play with your feet. There are also many knobs called stops that the organist pulls to activate different sets of pipes for different sounds. The organist plays all these keyboards with both hands and feet, pulls the stops in and out, and busily makes the organ sound like an entire orchestra. In 1977, the music of Bach was launched into outer space. When NASA launched the Voyager 1 space probe, on board they included a time capsule engraved on a golden record. If there were life out there somewhere, perhaps whoever found the golden record would discover that there once had been life here on Earth. On the golden record, they carefully engraved sounds of rain, animals, volcanoes, as well as pictures of humans and animals. And they also included music, music from all over the world. Can you guess what the first piece of music to be included was? Yes, you guessed it. Music by Johann Sebastian Bach. Was Bach always so famous? No, he was not always so famous. Even though he had 20 children and several tried to keep his music alive, for long periods of history, Bach was virtually unknown. You might say that Bach, or at least his music, died and came back to life three times. A mere 30 years after Bach's death, Mozart was living in Vienna. The director of the Imperial Library was a serious amateur musician, and on Sunday afternoons, he would invite professional musicians to come to his home to play chamber music. One Sunday afternoon, the librarian put a Bach manuscript up on the music stands. Mozart was astounded. The music was so unusual, so complex, so beautiful. Mozart had never seen anything like it. And before long, Mozart was borrowing the manuscripts to write his own arrangements of Bach's music. Some scholars even say that encountering Bach's music totally changed Mozart's style. But how was it possible that Mozart had never seen Bach's music? Well, less than 10% of Bach's music was published during his lifetime. This meant that over 90% of his music, if it still existed at all, was handwritten. And because copying Bach's very complicated music took a lot of time, there were very few copies of his music to be had. What is more, times had changed. People wanted music with melody, less complicated music. People who had heard of Bach often regarded him as more of a mathematical genius than a great composer. So, as far as music was concerned, Bach was pretty much dead. For many years, only music connoisseurs knew about Bach. But then, in 1824, a teenage boy brought Bach back to life. The great composer, Felix Mendelssohn, received a very special birthday gift, a copy of a rare musical manuscript. Bach had been dead for more than 70 years. His musical manuscripts had become rare collector's items. However, Mendelssohn's grandmother, who lived in Leipzig where Bach had worked for 30 years, knew someone who had acquired a copy of a religious opera by Bach. This work, called an oratorio, was Bach's St. Matthew Passion. With some difficulty, she borrowed the manuscript and had it hand-copied. That birthday gift brought the music of Bach back to life. The score seized Mendelssohn's imagination, and even though he was only a teenager, he decided that he wanted to arrange the work and have it performed live. Many thought that this was an extravagant idea. A performance would require an orchestra and soloists, and not one but two choirs. The 16-year-old Mendelssohn, however, was not to be dissuaded. And in 1829, when he was only 20 years old, his dream came true. Mendelssohn conducted the first performance of Bach's St. Matthew Passion that any living person had ever heard. Over 1,000 people attended, and many people had to be turned away at the door. That performance linked Bach's and Mendelssohn's names forever. Mendelssohn continued to promote an interest in early music throughout his life, but he died at the very young age of 38, and by the middle of the 19th century, romantic music was all the rage. Once again, only musical scholars remembered Bach. People only wanted beautiful melodies and rich harmonies, this time with big operas and bigger orchestras. It was as if the music of Bach once more had been put back into the attic. And then, in the 1950s, people began to make copies of old instruments. Violins with short necks and gut strings, harpsichords, clavichords, mechanical tracker organs. They wanted to hear how the music of Bach and Handel sounded when it was originally performed, namely on instruments like those played in Bach's day. The music of Bach and Handel and many other early composers was dusted off and brought back to life. By the 1970s, as I said in the beginning, everyone had heard of Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach never expected that people would remember his music. After all, when he took the position at the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, he threw out all the music of his predecessor. Music in Bach's day was written for occasions, not for posterity. So, just think how surprised he would be if he knew that today, everyone, including you, knows about the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. The music you just heard is the beginning of Bach's Little Fugue. A fugue is like a round, like row, row, row your boat, but much more complicated. The melody is moved around and changed, which can make it hard to identify. However, there are ways to make it easier. Here are some words that we can add to the melody. I like Bach because he is so funny. Up and down the scale he goes, where he stops, nobody knows. Oh, why is he so difficult to play? It goes a bit like this.
I like Bach because he is so funny. Up and down the scale he goes. When he stops, nobody knows. Oh, why is he so difficult to play?
Let's sing it together. Now listen to Bach's Little Fugue in G minor. Do you think you can recognize the main theme? Good, I thought so.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.